Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. My name's Joe, one of the pastors here, and have you ever experienced an awkward silence in a conversation? Some of us? Have you ever been the perpetrator of the awkward silence? All the introverts in the house are like, hey, yeah, I know what you're talking about. There's awkward silences and there's not. I have a couple of very good close friends who are introverts, and they love to sit in silence, and for them it's not awkward. It's intensely awkward for those of us who like to, though, make conversation. And so I constantly just tell Jeremy and Chris that I love them and we'll try and hold up both ends of the conversation. But those awkward silences are they're a challenge, right? It's particularly hard when you're with someone that you know you should be having a conversation with. Have you ever been like asked to like look after someone and make them feel welcome, and after about 2.7 seconds you run out of things to say? This is just me. Every now and then when we have conferences, you get to like look after some of the guests, and I remember we had Will Hart here, who's hilarious and fun to hang out with, who I'd already hung out with once before when we had him, and we had him back just before COVID shut everything down. And I remember we got in the car and the first time I was like, hi, how's everything going? And he asked me a question back, and then after, again, the aforementioned 2.7 seconds, it fell into this awkward silence. And like, and it just started to stretch. It started to stretch. And you're thinking, how long have we been sitting in silence here? Like, how long is this car drive? How long do we have to sit here? Has it been 4 hours yet? What's going on? You know those moments, right? And I hate those moments because I really want to have something good to say. And I was totally unprepared. Have you ever experienced that? Just being totally unprepared, and someone says, you might have already experienced it today when Nick or Andrew or any of the team have said, hey, turn to one another and pray. In prayer, we kind of avoid, the awkward silence seems spiritual, right? How long do we sit in silence before someone says amen? Sometimes we just don't know what to say. And today, what I want to talk about is, if we think through what we can say before we get to the point where there could be an awkward silence, we don't have to have an awkward silence, right? We can avoid what just happened then, right? So if we think about what we can say beforehand, we can be prepared so awkward silences don't need to happen, because everyone's got something to share. When it comes to being Jesus followers in the world around us, we all have something to share, right? Yep, Grant does. That's good. No awkward silence with him. Last week, Pastor John brought a really encouraging word and a really simple thing that we can all do. We can all extend an invitation to the people around us to come and see. Come and see. We have this season of opportunity in front of us with all of these things going on that are all about Jesus. And half of the work is actually done for us. All we need to really say is, do you want to come and see? Okay, that's liberating, right? Yes. I'm just going to, these awkward silences are great. I've really set it up for this. Let's read again out of John chapter 1, where Pastor John started us off last week. In verse 43 of John chapter 1, we see this beautiful moment where Jesus is calling his disciples, and we particularly focus in on Philip and Nathanael. It says in verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael says to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip says back, come and see. Easy, pump is primed. Philip has experienced Jesus and invites his good friend Nathanael to come and see. Simple principle, simple idea. It's a great thing to do. When we find something of value, you want others to know about it, right? Yeah. If you find a deal, you want to tell your friends. I love music. When I find a new band, when I find a new song that I love, I just want to tell people about it. You can ask the guys who sit around me in the office. I'm like, you should hear the song, it's amazing. And I tell them about it, I tell them why it's amazing. It's probably insufferable, there's no awkward silences from my end, lots from theirs. But I tell them all about it. Interestingly enough, it struck me that that's not the same as listening to the song, right? There's something different between telling people about it, of inviting them to come and see, but then them experiencing that thing for themselves. Because that's the goal. And John talked about that too, that we bring people to where God is working. He's working in us, he's working through us, he's working around us. And sometimes if we're not sure what to do, we bring him to a place like this where God's presence is just moving and it's so easy and he's so tangible in the way that we interact with him. Because talking about him leads us to him, but it's the experience of knowing him that changes us, right? So it got me to thinking, why do we then tell people? Because surely just experience it, right? Just meet Jesus, that's all good. Why do we tell our stories? Why do we share our testimonies? Why do we want to say something about what's gone on in us to someone else? I think for a few reasons. I think that when I start to share, when you start to share what's going on in your life, it lets people know that maybe there's more going on than they've experienced yet. Maybe their sum total of their experience of the world and their life is not the complete experience. Maybe there's more outside what they've experienced so far. And in fact, when we talk about who Jesus is for us, maybe people start to think, oh, I wonder if he could be that for me. And it actually starts to see, to stir up in people, wow, I know that person and I can see that change. I wonder if there's actually some truth to what they're talking about. See, we share our testimony because it stirs up something in those who hear it. But when John was talking last week, something struck me. It wasn't him, it wasn't his spit from the front row. I thought, oh, interesting. There's this beautiful moment where Philip says to Nathaniel, who's just had a bit of a crack about as if anyone good comes from that place, he says, well, come and see. That's verse 46. Verse 47 of John chapter 1, they arrive to meet with Jesus. But what did they talk about on the way? Philip says, hey, come see Jesus. Is it an awkward silence? The way that Philip is talking about Jesus is probably not an awkward silence. Philip's probably going, oh my goodness, you wouldn't believe who I met. Like, I know I said that he's that one that Moses was writing about in the law and then all the prophets as well, but like, I don't think you realize he's actually a descendant of King David. Actually, it's a funny story. He's a descendant on both sides. I'll explain how it works. But you can imagine Philip just going, you've got to come meet this guy. And sharing the whole way, on the way, why he's excited to introduce his friend to Jesus. Which got me to think, what do? We say, hey, come and see. Hey, come to this thing and you might experience something. Come and meet this Jesus. And when they say yes, what do we say? Is it an awkward silence or do we have something to respond with? Because I remember when Melinda Dwight was here, she's from Alpha, Australia, and she said, you know, half of our battle is actually summing up the courage to invite someone, and sometimes we'll explain it so much that we run right past the invitation and we give them every out in the world, and sometimes we even don't even listen for their response. Okay, hey, you should come to this thing, it's going to be really good, but of course you might be busy, so it doesn't matter if you are. So if you can't make it, we could book it another time. And you can actually probably watch the stream online, and maybe you'll be busy. Maybe actually you won't be interested in that. It's a bit musical theatre, and I know you don't like that. And instead of going, hey, come and see. And then when they say yes, often we're like, oh no. I don't know what to say now. Thanks. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Let's not talk about this till we get there. Or, yeah, I'd be interested to come to that. Why would I come? What do we say? Today, I want to help us come up with this really simple thing that we can use that will help us talk about why on the way. As we walk in relationship with others, as we talk to the people around us about why, It's going to build up confidence in us. It's going to help us not have the awkward silences. People go, well, what are they inviting me to if they don't want to talk about it? Because I truly believe that if we know what to say, we're not going to use excuses to get out of it. We're not going to let fear overcome us. We're not actually going to step back from the opportunity. But if we've got something locked and loaded in our back pocket to say, oh, why? I'll tell you why. It starts to break down those barriers that we have for actually inviting people to experience Jesus, to come and see. It's a muscle that we need to build. I remember talking with Pastor Claude, and she was sharing stories about going up and praying for people on the streets, and some people go, that's a bridge too far. But we were talking, and she's like, it's still scary. So I'm just getting used to doing it a lot. So now I'm obedient before I'm afraid. She's built up the muscle of doing it. And so for some of us, we just haven't exercised that muscle. We don't know what to do with it. And so we don't know if we can rely on it when it comes time to test it. But I figure if we got some time together today, we can start to do a little bit of work on that. So it's going to be a little bit more interactive maybe than normal. So roll with me here. Awkward silence, great. So we're going to learn a simple thing today that you're going to be able to keep in your back pocket for any time, anywhere, when you say, hey, come and see, and they say, yeah, why? You'll have an answer. 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a reason for why Jesus is good news. I want us to be ready. I want us as a church to be absolutely primed, to be ready to share on the way to see Jesus. Because what God's done in your life, I believe, is a key to unlocking what God's going to do in the lives of the people that he's put in relationship with you. So a good friend of River Life, Nathan Holland, who works for Youth for Christ, taught a bunch of us this tool before, and I'm going to teach it to you today. So if you have your River Life news, digital or print, get it out now, and you'll see a little diagram. If you don't have a pen, I bet you've got a phone, so you can actually use a digital version of this if you like. You actually don't even need to write it on if you don't want, but there's a little diagram. Hey, there it is. This tool is simple. It's four sentences. You've got to come up with three ideas that are just your story. It's going to give you something to talk about on the way. And it goes a little something like this. The first question is, what was your life like before you met Jesus? Just got to think of just a couple of things to describe what your life was like before you met Jesus. Maybe fearful and insecure. The second question you've got to answer is, what did Jesus do when you met him? So for me, when I met Jesus, I received his love and acceptance. The third question we've got to answer as we're thinking about what to say on the way is, what's life like now in relationship with Jesus? And the last thing is, ask them, hey, do you have a story like that yet? It's really simple. And it really doesn't take long. Like, it should take 15 seconds. That's why we call it a 15-second testimony. So to prove it, Grant, get out your timer. Please, Pastor Grant, use my manners. You ready? You count me in, hit start. Before I met Jesus, my life was full of fear and insecurity, but when I met Jesus, I received his love and his acceptance. And so now I live a life of significance and belonging. Do you have a story like that? Stop. 13 seconds. I had time for an altar call. But that's how simple it can be. That's literally how simple it is if you just think about it beforehand. So I'm going to give you the gift of time. So get out a pen to go with your paper, or get your phone out of your pocket so you've got something to write on, and I want you to right now answer those three questions. Right now, for yourself. Now, if you don't have an answer to those three questions, that's okay. Because you're going to actually talk to someone in a moment, and they might help you understand what some of those answers might be for you. But right now, I'm going to give you a minute or two. I think Sarah's going to play some lovely thinking music for you. And I want you to answer those three questions. Just write down two things for each of those. What was my life like before I met Jesus? What happened when I met Jesus, and what's my life like now? So, if you're online, if you're watching online, you can do the same thing. You can get the River Life News. You can fill it in a PDF form if you want. You can just get a pen and paper out. You can write it on your phone. What was my life like before I met Jesus? What happened when I met him? What's my life like now? Go for it. Okay, great. Awesome. Nice to have that, right? Nice to stop and reflect on what Jesus has done in your life, correct? Yes, anybody? Can I get a show of hands who thought it was nice to think about what Jesus has done in their life? Great. We are at church. We're allowed to talk about Jesus. It's okay. So we're going to practice that. We're actually going to have a go at practicing. So I want you to turn to the person that you prayed with earlier. We've already done this. We talked about doing fun things in church. Pastor Claude told us that. We're going to practice it today. We're going to enjoy ourselves in church. We're going to practice sharing our 15-second testimony with the other person. Now, you can be generous and just let them share. If you're really into this, you can get your timer out and go and give them some feedback. You're too long, you're too short. But I would love you to turn now to someone else. If you need to do it in threes, that's fine. But actually have a go. Now, I'm going to ask River Lifers, if you see someone sitting by themselves that you don't know, be bold, be confident, go sit with them. And if you don't have a 15-second testimony, someone's going to come and share theirs with you. Ask them about how that happened for them. So, be bold, go. I see people sitting by themselves, so some of you be bold to go and sit with someone else. Come on. The church is getting to be the church where we get to talk to one another, to care about one another. Love it. If you're in a group of three, that's fine. Go for it. Okay. How good is that? Who felt like they could share that with some level of confidence? Hey, let's ask this a better question. Who thought that the other person in their pair or triplet shared that in a really meaningful way? Give me a thumbs up, give me a high five or whatever. Hey, great, that's good. That's good, come on. How good is it? How simple is it to be able to say, hey, this is why. Come and see Jesus. Why? Well, let me tell you what he's done in my life. I truly believe if we are ready to share this, it's going to make a difference. God's going to use it. Those who have prepared and have prepared themselves, if we honor him by doing that and going to share the goodness of him in our lives with others, it's going to make a huge difference. It's going to make a difference to their lives. Otherwise, why are we here? Right? Let me give you a couple of scriptures to encourage you about going about this, and then we're going to do one more thing to close off our time together today. Because Jesus promises that he will be with us, that the Holy Spirit will be with us. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 12, verse 8 to begin with. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. Hey, that's good, right? The one who denies me before others will be denied before the angels. That's not great. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That will not be forgiven. I love this bit, and this is a bit you can have confidence in. When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what to say. Jesus says it this other way in John. He will take everything that is mine and remind you of it. He'll declare it to you. So you prepared, and so when you get there, the Holy Spirit's going to use that. I'm going to jump just down to Matthew 28. That great commission, that end of Jesus' ministry in Matthew's gospel before the events of Pentecost. But it's just this beautiful thing, and I think it fits beautifully into what we're here to do. Jesus said to everyone there, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." That's the commission. But the promise, behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. See, as we go, this is the beautiful mystery of God. We will say, hey, come and see. And on the way, the Holy Spirit is with us already on the way to see, and he's going to use us to speak forth truth and life and love and power and beauty into other people's lives. This is what he loves to do. He wants people to know him much more than we do. He is much more interested in people encountering life and freedom than we could be, no matter how passionate you are. We can't be more loving than him. We can't be more generous. We can't be more patient. He wants to go above and beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. So if we can take 15 seconds to remember his goodness and share it with someone else, what could he do with that? What could he do with that, with our simple acts of obedience? I think Paul says it best in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? Right? There's power in that 15 seconds. There's a pile of other things that we're going to teach you if you want to learn more about this. There's a whole bunch of stuff on our YouTube channel about sharing the good news of Jesus in simple ways. If you want to know more about it, don't hold back. There's all the resources there that you need. Come talk to someone. But our opportunity in this season of opportunity is to be able to be ready. 2 out of 3 people say yes when you ask them. Be ready to tell them why. We can be ready to tell them why. So, because it's an interactive kind of Sunday, because we've been praying and we've been sharing, here's what I wanted to do to end our time together today. That there's people that in the last few weeks that the Lord's been placing on your heart, that no matter what service you've been at, we've had the opportunity to pray for those people, that God would stir in them, would draw them, would do something, would use us and the people around them to bring them to a place where they might be able to encounter Jesus. Let's do it again. That quote from Brother Andrew from the Open Doors prayer time just a little bit earlier in the service. Man, if we understood the power of our prayers, he says, we'd be on our knees 100 times a day. Man, that's convicting. But man, we don't even see the power of our prayer. And people together praying with a unified heart and intention that people would encounter his love changes something. So, you've met that lovely person or a couple of people beside you. We're going to take a moment now to pray for the people that we would love to come and experience Jesus, to come and see, the people we're going to be able to share our why with. So would you turn to that person now, and the band's going to come back up and lead us back into a time of worship. Would you turn together now? We're going to pray for those people, and then we're going to head into some time of worship to finish. Let's do that. Go. I'll pray to finish in just a moment. Lord, as we lift these names to you, we thank you. We thank you that everyone is someone that you value, that you love, that you died for, and that you have placed us in their lives, Lord, to share that truth. Lord, we thank you that the prayer offered in faith achieves a lot, Lord. So I ask that everything, as we continue to lift these names up to you, these people, Lord, these lives and these families, we lift them to you, Jesus. We lift them to you because you do this beautiful thing where you draw people to yourself. So Lord, would you give us courage and love? Would you give us a sense of your leading in this season of opportunity? To be ready, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you fill our awkward silences. So we welcome you to come. We welcome you to come, Lord. Hear our prayers. Hear our cries. Know the cries of our heart, that our friends, our family, our loved ones, our neighbors will find life in you in this season.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.